This is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day. And a good week and a good month. And I will say it is the last few minutes of November right now as I record this. You'll be listening sometime in December. I was having a hard time coming up with a topic for today because I've done so many podcasts, right? Those of you that have been with me for years now, I appreciate you listening to me, and I hope that I've been helpful. Again, we have the $1,000 bill for our puffy, so if you can buy me a coffee, that would be great. The link is in the description. Moving on. I decided that this podcast was going to be about revenge. Because one of the feelings that you get once you realize that your mother or your father, or whoever it is in your life, your romantic partner, is a narcissist, right? And you've accepted that fact, you get overwhelmed by anger, sadness, and you will go back and forth. And you should listen to my stages of grief, and maybe I'll redo that podcast. Because when someone dies, the stages of grief, and they've changed them because there should be no rules, because everyone grieves differently. Even for death. But acceptance is the last step in the grieving process of someone who passes away. While with narcissism, acceptance has to be the first step. If you cannot accept fully that your mom was a is a narcissist, you cannot heal. You cannot grieve, right? It's the same thing as when you're an alcoholic. If you don't accept that you're an alcoholic, you can't get help because you're in denial. Now, denial is one of the stages, of course, of both. But right after acceptance comes the emotions that sometimes are so powerful that you can't handle them. You know, the anger that comes, right? And that anger is necessary because it fuels you to go no contact, to take a step into that healing space. But it doesn't feel like healing. It feels like revenge, right? Most of us have been through that phase. Now, I don't know where you are in this process. You may have just figured it out. And you may just now be in this anger phase. And what everyone wants is retribution. You want karma to get these people, right? That's what we all want. Because it's not fair. How many times in the last almost 7 years have I thought to myself, how come this has happened to me? Why was I born into this family? This is unfair. And the answer to that is, I don't know, right? We don't know. But we have superpowers that other people don't have. And one of our superpowers eventually is being able to see a narcissist from a mile away. Right. And I don't mean that literally. you talk to someone and you can tell that they are self-involved, manipulative within minutes. Trust me, because I was very isolated for years, but now I'm working and I'm exposed to a lot more people, and boy, am I good at telling. Right. Have I made mistakes at picking out narcissists? Yes. I've seen narcissistic traits and gone, oh, she's a narcissist. And no, not a narcissist, just someone who is misinformed. But not really a narcissist. But yes, I've come across real narcissists that you just have to stay away from. The easiest way to deal with them. And now I've noticed that I don't attract them. They're scared of me. And I don't know if it's because of my experience with it. Nobody knows. This is not a word I use at all. Narcissism. This is not, you know, my common language outside of here. But I think that now I'm not attracting them anymore. Because a lot of you have that question, like, why do I keep attracting narcissists? Because we are the ones that have to be savvy, and that comes off, right? That comes off, and they can tell. They can tell, oh, that's not a person I want to mess with. How? I don't know how my demeanor has changed. I cannot tell you that, because I am still always smiling, always cracking jokes, and I'm nice even to the narcissist, but I keep things short, sweet, and I barely say anything. And maybe that's what has tipped this person off. Anyway, this is not what my podcast is supposed to be about. Like always, I go off on tangents. What do we do when we want revenge? Right? What should we do to get revenge? And you might not like my answer, but look it up if you don't believe me. The best revenge against a narcissist is living a happy life and a good life without them in your life. That is the best revenge. So healing yourself, working on yourself, having a happy life, no matter what that looks like, as long as you're happy, it doesn't matter what it is. For some of you, it's being married and having a family and having children. For some of you, it's being successful in your career. For some of you, it's both of those things. And there's many other things that can make you happy, right? Being happy without the narcissist is the best revenge, because if they catch a whiff of you being happy without them, that is going to kill them, because they have brainwashed you into thinking you can't be happy without them. There was a time when if someone had asked me, what is the relationship with your mother like? What is your relationship with your mother like? My answer would have been, she's my best friend. And I've said this before on these podcasts, because that is what I truly believed, because she had ingrained that into my brain so much that I believed it, that we were best friends. When in fact, she was my enemy, right? They're our enemies. They're trying to hurt us. And I know there's controversy and people want to say they don't know what they're doing. That's just the way they are. There are so many examples of how they change their tune on the drop of a hat, that you know they're controlling it, that what they do is calculated and they can control it. I'll give you an example of what happened to me. Of course, I talk about my experience, right? But I'm sure, I don't know if any of you have come across this experience with your narcissistic mother, but when I was about 31, I was separating from my husband, and I was quote unquote dating. I'm not really proud of this, but I will talk about it because it's relevant. I was dating a guy online, but it was someone I knew in person who was in the military and was overseas at the time. And we started chatting and I started having feelings for him. But the reason I was having feelings for him was because I didn't realize how done I really was in my marriage. It didn't go anywhere until I spoke to my husband and told him, we need to separate. This is over. And then I kind of, at that point, let the feelings flow. Were they real? They felt real at the moment. Do I think they were real? I think it was what I needed at the moment in order to separate and move on with my life. So my mother hated this person, okay, because I had to do what she wanted me to do, which was to stay married to someone I didn't love. And honestly, I had never loved. The only reason I really married him, and I'm sorry to say this because I honestly don't have ill feelings towards him, and some of you might be like, what happened? Things have changed recently, and I hope, you know, I hope I'm not being naive here, but that it stays this way, that we can be cordial. And I don't want to speak ill of him, but the marriage, we were not a good couple. I see how he has changed with his wife now. And number one, she did a good job. And number two, it was obvious that just we weren't meant to be, and that's okay. But anyway, my mother hated the guy that I was dating, right? Let's call him Steve. I'll call him Steve. Because funny enough, his name is very common, so I can't pick the most common name, which kind of gives it away, right? let's call him Steve instead. So I'm seeing Steve, and we're seeing very personal things to each other. We're getting to very close as far as I felt it. And, you know, if I ever brought him up in front of my mother, she would get upset. But one day, she said to me, I hope they throw a bomb and kill him. And my mouth dropped open. I could not believe that this woman, who was super religious, just wished that someone that I cared about was murdered, killed in combat. I was so upset that I wanted to physically accost her. I wanted to physically slap. I wanted to slap her across the face. And it was almost instinctive. Now, let me tell you something. I was vindicated by a book, and now I'm giving you vindication if you ever got close to slapping your mother or hitting her because she said something so heinous that your reaction was to hit her, right? And it was a reaction. That's reactive abuse. What happened at that moment was I couldn't, and she kept on going. I remember she kept on going. And the point that I was trying to make here is that because I physically moved towards her as if I was going to hit her and even moved my hand back, and I stopped myself. I was able to think long enough, and I thank God for that, because I couldn't live with myself having hit my own mother, right? My life would have been very different from many years ago. And maybe it would have been better that way, but then I would have had that guilt of doing that. And I don't have it. But when she saw that I was getting aggressive, she shut up and looked innocent. I remember her face and demeanor changed completely. Almost to say, look at her, she's crazy. She's going to hit me. It didn't happen, but I did see her demeanor change. So they know what they're doing. Okay, that's my point, is they have full control of what they're doing. Okay? And that goes for every person. Okay? That doesn't just go for narcissists. People can argue with you, be angry at you, and if something changes, they can calm down in an instant. This also happened with my ex, but like I said, I don't want to get into all of that. But they can act very calm so that they look to cops, for example, very calm when they just did something horrible to you. Right? I got threatened by a cop because the person that I had called the police on, which is not something I do lightly, was calmed down. So it looked like I was just calling the police and he threatened me. The cop threatened me. So I have a very bad feeling about policemen. I don't like them. They don't know crap about abuse, right? Domestic violence. Right, I live in Florida, and this was national news a couple of years ago, 2021, I believe it happened. Gabby Petito, I don't know if you guys remember her. She was a young girl who was traveling across the country with her boyfriend, and he murdered her. They were fighting a lot. He was toxic, crazy, narcissistic. I don't know how else to put it. And he murdered her, and they finally found her body. And they actually live not like 40, 45 minutes north of me, his family. And they are about to start training policemen in Florida on domestic violence. So there's going to be some questionnaire, and I don't know how a questionnaire is going to bring to light violence when the person committing the violence calms down. And with the Gabby Petito case, you can see her in distress and him calm. And you can see that she was being abused. You can see it in the police, you know, the police footage. So back to the revenge. You're not going to get revenge on the narcissist, because any action that you take against them is supply. Okay? So getting revenge is really actually giving them what they want. Remember, narcissists need supply, and the supply is your emotional response. They use that as filling their own empty void, right? They need that attention, even when it's negative, right? They don't care. Not that they don't care, but negative attention, negative responses, that's what they want. They want to stir up drama, right? So that's not a way to get revenge. And calling them and giving them a list of all the things they did to you, that's not going to help either, because they know what they've done. And even if they don't know everything they've done, which I believe they don't understand everything they've done wrong to you, they're not going to admit to it. They're going to tell you that never happened. You're going to end up more frustrated at the end of it. But you know what will get you eventual satisfaction? When you stop being angry and wanting revenge and you're moving on with your life and they see it and you're not in their life, they're not in your life, that's what causes them to go frantic looking for supply because they lost you. They lost their main supply. So they go looking for someone else. Now, if it's a romantic relationship, those people have several sources of supply. They have them like, you know, one behind the other. If you go away, there's one right behind you, right? That maybe overlapped with you. That's just the way it is with narcissistic men. They cheat. They're never without supply until they get old and they're having trouble getting supply. But with a narcissistic parent, they will go crazy. And the way my mother got more supply was becoming best friends with my ex-husband, which I find hilarious because she did not like talking to him. Every time she had anything to say to him after we got separated, she would make me call him. That covered a lot of ground for her. She made me call him, which was uncomfortable for me. And it showed me that she really didn't want to talk to him. But then I stopped talking to her. I went no contact and she became best friends with him. I don't know what the situation is now. My mother died, so obviously she's not talking to him. But with my father, who's left, I think things have changed because, and I talked about this a few episodes ago, that my father was sick, I think, maybe. I don't know for sure. But he was very thin, and my ex-husband and my daughter were like, my daughter, you have to call grandpa, you have to call grandpa, you don't understand, he's very thin and sickly. And I kept saying, yeah, but he doesn't want anything to do with me, and I've been trying since grandma died 2 years ago to have contact with him, and he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. And I didn't want to make the phone call, which I'm very proud of. I'm glad that I got to that point. Because my life started to change when I accepted that situation and accepted that I had to let go of a cousin, the last person in my mother's family that I talked to, because he didn't care about me. And how do I know that? Hurricane Ian blew over where I live and stayed here for about 10 to 12 hours and destroyed and flattened it. So any of you that know anything about Florida, you know where the area I live in. And he didn't even, he lives in Miami, and he didn't even text me to see if I was okay. And that was the end of that. Because he was faking being in my life and caring. Because if you really care about someone, you text, right? To find out if they're okay. So that pretty much closed that door. And I realized, okay, I accepted my father's wishes. And I didn't want to contact him. But my daughter kept pushing and pushing. So I said, fine, I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it on speaker in front of her. So she can hear it and things can change. And it worked. It was exactly as I expected. He said, no, I just want to be left alone. When I asked him, do you want to talk to me? Because I heard you were sick. Yeah, but I'm fine now. Everything's fine now. You know, very passive aggressive, not telling me what was wrong, even though genetically could be, you know, I don't know if it's a genetic condition. And I won't ever know. I won't know, you know, unless someone that knows him tells me at some point, you know, after he's dead. Maybe I'll know, but hopefully I won't have whatever it is that was wrong with him. I mean, it could be something he inflicted on himself, like, you know, liver disease because he started drinking when my mom died. I don't know. There's so many things that have gone through my head. But my daughter heard it, And I hung up the phone, and not a word has been spoken since then about that. No one is pressuring me, including my ex. My ex, I think my daughter was like, don't ask mom to call him again. She's not lying. He doesn't want anything to do with her. So I felt a great vindication. Now, karma, some of you may believe it. Some of you may not. Does karma work 100% of the time? No. Does karma work and we don't see it? Yeah, a lot of times, because if you go no contact, you have limited information coming from that direction. But does karma actually work? Does it exist? When you put something out into the universe, does it come back to you in the form that you put it out there? It's not woo-woo to think that if you are a positive person and you're making someone's day happy, that they pass it on and that comes back to you, right? There's nothing woo-woo about that. It works. If you put out negativity, you're going to get negativity back from people. That's just the way it works. If you're a bad person in life, it's going to catch up to you, okay? My mother died having been in a mental institution for 2 weeks against her will. That is not something I'm happy about. But it is something that happened. She used to call me crazy because I suffer from anxiety and depression caused by her. But she's the one that literally was hallucinating, having delusions, and ended up in a hospital because my father couldn't handle it. There's karma right there. Karma worked its magic. And it's not that I would wish something on like that on her, but that is how it ended up. And I know that a lot of you are in that situation where the mother with dementia. And I believe that there's a connection between dementia and narcissism. Because narcissists, instead of having to deal with the fact that they don't have supply, would rather go nuts and lose their memory and just not be in reality. If any of you have ever watched a Sam Vankin video, he talks about people who are narcissists and lose supply and are getting older, that they purposely have hallucinations, that they can control it. Sam Vankin considers himself a self-aware narcissist. The narcissist part, totally, I saw it immediately when I started watching his videos. Like, this guy is talking down to us. I don't like his attitude. And he's totally a narcissist. He may also be neurodivergent, have another issue like maybe autism. He's on the autism spectrum or something as well. But either way, he researched it and wrote a paper about that. And I think it's very possible that that's what happened to my mother. I do. So that is karma right there. And with my father, the karma is something happened, right? I don't know what it is, but he was sick. He lost enough weight that my daughter freaked out when she saw him. She said, he looks like a different person. His head, he looks like a skeleton. He looks like a different person. So whatever it was serious. And it might have been self-inflicted, like I said, or maybe not. Maybe he has been sick. Either way, he didn't have support. And that's where the karma comes in. It's not the illness. It's the lack of support when, in fact, he has 4 kids. 4. None of which he talks to. The first 3 he abandoned as children. The the fourth one walked away from him. And then, well, I walked away from him because he was married to my mother. But then when I tried, he was the one who, again, I'm just kid number four. But he is in his 80s. It's a different story. So does karma come around? It usually does, yes. You can't go around in this lifetime hurting people. Doing things like abandoning children and not having contact with them and not raising them, not being responsible, and it not come back to you. That's not how it works, right? That's not how it works. Now, do bad things happen to people who try their best? 100% that happens. It does. It's us, right? We didn't deserve what we got. We were born into the situation. We didn't choose our situation. And even if we had chosen it, it wouldn't have been on purpose. It's not like we would have chosen a narcissistic partner on purpose. I know I didn't. But it happens. Unfair things happen. But karma tends to catch up to these people who are narcissistic and toxic. And maybe that gives you a little bit of solace and takes away the urge to get revenge, because it's not going to end up well. You know the expression, when you seek out revenge, you better dig two graves. A grave for the person that you're getting revenge on and one for yourself. So don't ever seek out revenge, especially with a narcissist, because it's not going to work. No matter what you do, it's not going to work. It's just going to give them supply. What does work is being happy, letting them see it, and you don't have to tell them. They will know. Trust me. When you go no contact and you don't go back, they know that you are living a good life, that you are healing without them. They know it. Okay? That is the only revenge that you should be getting on a narcissist. They don't understand anything else but silence. And our silence is not stonewalling, because I know that there's a confusion there. Like, what's the difference between them stonewalling us and us going no contact? The difference is very different. Is the intent. They stonewall you as a punishment. They want to show you that they don't care about you. That's why they stonewall you. They stop talking to you. They ignore you. You don't matter. We go no contact to protect our mental health and to protect ourselves. Those are two different intentions. Even if in the beginning you went no contact because they did something heinous and you got mad, and it felt like a punishment, later on you realize, no, this is better for me. This situation is better than them being in our lives. All right. My mouth is dry. It is late. I'm thinking we're officially on December 1st. So rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Some of you may know what that means. The first of the month is always a new beginning, right? It is a chance to start something fresh. Why don't we do that this year? December 1st is the first day of the Christmas month. Let's start it fresh. Let's make it different than every other year. I don't know about you guys, but I've always had an aversion to Christmas. And this year, I am working. I am on the holiday party planning committee. I am a little stressed, but I am enjoying every second of it. I feel like I have a purpose. I feel like I belong. Why don't you do the same? And then you don't have to be in a party planning committee. You can have your own Christmas spirit just by decorating your house, right? And for those of you that don't celebrate Christmas, do it. Do whatever you want to do. Because it's under your control. And you don't have to worry about what's coming, right? Am I going to go to my mom's house? Am I going to see my mom? Do I have time? I'll do a Christmas episode, but change Thanksgiving to Christmas, and that's pretty much what I'm going to say. Same thing. Start new traditions, right? You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Empowering you. But I want to empower you to start this month different than you did last year. Just different, with a different outlook. Look at this month as a new beginning to a new Christmas season or holiday season, or if you don't celebrate the holidays, it is a new month, and I'm going to do it differently than I did it last year. I'm going to do something different to make it a happy time, whatever that is for you. All right, guys, that's enough for me. I love you very much. You know I love you. My heart goes out to all of you. And I promise you that in time, things will get better. The guilt will get better. The anger will get better. You will come to a place of acceptance and even, oh my God, I'm going to say the F word, forgiveness. But forgiveness comes naturally. It's not something you can force. And that's why I post what I post on Instagram about forgiveness. I bring that up as much as I can because it's such a controversy about forgiveness. People want you to forgive. Forgive your mother. She doesn't know any better. Forgive. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Don't let them guilt you into it. Forgiveness is something that happens naturally, and it happens after you've had a long time of no contact, and not everybody gets there, and that is fine. It has happened for me, and I think it's because she's dead. And there's a part of me that actually feels compassion towards her. That doesn't mean that what she did was okay. It was not okay. She did so many things that are still affecting my life. I have no family outside of my husband, and that is her doing. That is her fault. But there's a part of me that does feel compassion and wonders what trauma she lived that made her the way she was, right? Because I don't know. I don't know. She never spoke about being a child. So that comes, and like I said, that comes naturally. That's not something you can force. Forgiveness is not an action. It's not like walking or talking or working. It's not an action. I know they use it as a verb, to forgive. But forgiveness is not something that you can just say, hey, I forgive. Forgiveness and letting someone back in your life are synonymous, but they're not synonymous. People use them synonymously, like they're the same thing, but they're not the same thing. Okay? Forgiveness is something you feel inside yourself, and you will notice it when you think about your mother, your narcissistic mother, and you go, man, my mom was really screwed up. Things must have been horrible for her as a child. And that's why she was as evil as she was when she was an adult. And how awful is it to not really have feelings the way that I have them? She did. She never loved me the way I love Emily, my daughter. And she never loved my dad the way I love my husband. And you feel compassion. But that comes naturally. That's not me telling you have to forgive. Because I'm not for that. The other type of forgiveness is more in a romantic sense. I'm gonna make this example. A guy you're dating or a girl you're dating cheats on you. and you take them back, and that's considered forgiveness. But that's not actually forgiveness. That's giving in and accepting bad behavior, which you should not accept. I know every situation is different, but I'm being general here. All right, I am going to go because I do have to go to sleep. I do have to go to work tomorrow and party plan partially and do my other job too. I love you guys so much. I hope this was helpful. And I know that maybe the answer to how to get revenge is not what you were expecting, but I promise you that that is the best way to get revenge against a narcissist. I love you guys. And until next time.